You're listening to Radio Albion, talk radio for the nationalist community.
Welcome to the Daily Nationalist. Today's date is Wednesday the 28th of April 2021, and you're listening to me, Sven Longshanks, streaming at radioalbion.com. Well, it seems Isaac Newton is the latest to be accused of being a racist, and this is at university as well, where you would imagine the educated people were, that would understand that somebody could not be called a racist before the actual advent of the word, before the actual category even existed. Isaac Newton may have laid the foundations of modern physics, but professors at Sheffield University reportedly think he benefited from colonial-era activity, and the engineering curriculum should be decolonized as a result. Well, everybody benefited from colonial era activity, and nobody benefited more from colonial era activity than the people that were living in the colonies. We learned in Real Britannia this week about David Livingstone and about how David Livingstone opened up Africa so that colonies could be built there. They put roads there, they put waterways there, they put railways there, and it was only because of that that Africa was able to transform itself from having a slave-based economy to having a trade-based economy. The whole point of colonizing Africa was to stop Africans from selling other Africans as slaves. If we had not had the colonial era in Africa, slavery would never have been stopped because they never would have been provided with a different way for them to earn an income, to make a living. That was the whole point of setting up colonies in Africa. So it's not like it was just white people that benefited from this colonial era activity. And they can basically say that anybody who lived in the 17th and the 18th century benefited from this kind of activity. And under the new narrative that we have today, that this was somehow a bad thing, it means that anybody from that time can be accused of being a racist and can be deplatformed, basically. Isaac Newton's three laws of motion and universal gravitation form the core of modern physics, which is as apolitical a subject as one can imagine. However, the Faculty of Engineering at Sheffield University wants students to understand the global origins and historical context of his theories, and that he may have benefited from colonial era activity. And what does the global origins or historical context have to do with theories of physics, of modern physics? The whole point of science is that it applies regardless of what era you are talking about. We have gravity regardless of whether that took place BC or AD. The speed of light doesn't change depending upon who is living in what country. It's all irrelevant when it comes down to science. So what they are saying is, even if the science is correct, we shouldn't be studying it because the person that studied the science lived 300 years ago before we had multicultural countries. Another side to this is they say, well, we don't want to be studying science or these people in science because they all happen to be white. Well, there's a reason why they happen to be white, and that is because there weren't any black scientists at the time. If the students just want to study black scientists, then they can't go back any further than about 50 years, can they? That's the problem. And of course, when you say that to them, then they will say, well, why weren't there any black scientists? And the current narrative will tell them the reason there weren't any black scientists is because the white man was keeping them all down. He was turning them all to slaves and preventing the black scientists from doing scientific experiments in Africa. And it's just ludicrous. It's just completely historically illiterate. And to think that this is what's going on in our universities, it really explains why we have so many falsehoods that are making their way into mainstream society. I mean, if you want to hear anybody talk in any sense, you really need to talk to somebody over the age of 70 now, to be honest. And this is according to leaked university documents that were seen last week. The documents set out a plan to challenge long-standing conscious and unconscious biases among students, and to rethink Eurocentric and white saviour approaches to science and promote inclusive design. I mean, what are they saying here? How can conscious or unconscious biases have anything to do with whether a theory of physics is correct or not? And of course science is going to be Eurocentric, because it's only ever been white people that developed science and developed the ideas that science is based upon, the idea of experimentation to prove a theory. And once the theory has been proven, you can say that that is a rule, or that is some kind of natural law that we can rely upon. This logic came out of Greek philosophy. It took a long time to actually get to this stage of testing things out and testing out a theory and reaching conclusions and demonstrating things. It took a long time to actually get to there. And we don't actually see anybody even starting on that out on that journey in Africa. It began with the Greeks. I'm not even sure if we see much of that happening in India. Perhaps we did with the Aryans. Perhaps we did with the Egyptians, but it's not really very well documented. It was really just the Greeks that this came from. So unless you're going to pretend that some of these Greeks were black or some of the Greeks were Indians, it's going to be Eurocentric. And if they're going to try and study people that are not European and their theories, well, what sort of theories are they going to be studying? They're going to be studying theories of carrying out human sacrifices to the gods to make the sun come up every day, or to keep the gravity working, or to make it rain, instead of looking at the water cycle and learning about precipitation and clouds and rain and rivers. We're going to learn about doing the rain dance. Is that what they are going to do here? I don't understand how they can actually say we need to do this, and then they're not actually putting forward any logical ways that it can actually be done, because it means ignoring history. It actually means ignoring science and ignoring the discoveries in science, because the people that discovered them are white. Newton is not the only thinker being re-examined by the university. Pioneering scientists like Paul Dirac, Pierre-Simon Laplace, and Gottfried Wilhelm Leibniz are all up for review. Now, I'm not a scientist. I guess I'm a layman that is interested in science, the sort of science that Dr. Edward Dutton talks about. But I haven't ever heard of these people. But if they are important people and they're pioneering scientists, it's their science that matters, not what race they are. It's the importance of what they actually discovered that needs to be learned about by people today, so that they can emulate the ways that they came to their discoveries. And it really shouldn't matter what race they are. Decolonization is a hot term among social justice-minded academics. Put simply, it involves rethinking the notion that Western science, philosophy, and knowledge in general are superior to theories from the non-Western world and contribute to the oppression of this world. But where are these theories that come from the non-Western world? What are the theories that came from the non-Western world? Where is the science that came out of Africa? Where is the science that came out of India? Where are the theories that they came up with? India came up with a lot of theories, but they're all metaphysical theories. They have a very broad understanding of the way that the world works, but that all comes under religion. comes under religion, maybe it comes under philosophy, but it doesn't come under science. This is the thing, there just isn't any science that was developed by them. You have these myths about flying machines, but there's nothing about how these flying machines actually work. If we look at, we can look at the Arabs, and they talk about flying carpets and genies, but it doesn't tell you how the flying carpets work. It doesn't tell you how these genies work. If you read Dr. E. Michael Jones' work, he shows that in Islam, everything has to come from Allah. Nothing can actually be created by man himself. It all has to be some kind of a revelation from Allah. And when he was asking questions of these religious men out in Iran, and he was asking them how certain things were created, and every time they answered him, they just said, well, it has to have come from Allah. Allah has to have created it. They don't have this idea of a ongoing progress through history with more things being discovered. It's not a part of their culture, and it's not a part of their way of thinking. So whether these academics like it or not, all these theories to do with science, philosophy, and knowledge and the rest of it, they are going to be Eurocentric. It was Europeans that came out with this idea of having education and of having people devote their lifetimes to study and learning about the world and building civilizations. So it's naturally going to concentrate on the theories that work as well. It's not like the people that were doing this said, well, we'll ignore all the theories that work that come from non-whites and we'll just use the theories that work that come from whites. It was whether or not the theory was true and turned out to be factual. That's what was the deciding factor as to whether it continued to be worked upon. I mean, it's the same with a business today. You're not going to not employ somebody because they're a different race, even though they are better qualified than somebody from your own race, because the whole point of the business is going to be to make the most amount of profit as it can. And you're not going to deliberately cause yourself to make less profit by employing somebody who is less qualified than somebody else that is of another race. And it's the same in everything, really. Why would you hobble yourself or make it so that you're not going to succeed as well as you would like to succeed simply because you have some kind of prejudice against skin colors? It's just a ridiculous notion that people would think in that way. These ideas have been applied to history and political science and invoked to topple statues of famous figures considered offensive to modern tastes. However, it has also been applied to some unlikely subjects. Academics have argued that classical music, mathematics, and ecology are all ripe for decolonization on account of their domination by the white West. Well, who created classical music? White people created classical music. White people created the writing, the music writing. I forget the exact term that it is. Sheet music. Right, white people created sheet music. You have to have sheet music for classical music. You have to have a range of different instruments. You have to have somebody that can write the music for that range of different instruments. When we look at Africa, they had bongos. They had gourds that they would attach little bits of metal to so that they could pluck them. They may have had other gourds that they put catgut across that could be plucked. And that was it. They didn't have timpani, viola, brass instruments, string instruments. They never had any of this. So they couldn't develop it. When we look at mathematics, it was white people that came up with mathematics. It was the Greeks. And then when the Muslims took over the eastern part of the Roman Empire, Constantinople and the rest of it, they then had access to the Christian mathematics, and they used that and they learned from it, and they exported that back into Europe that had seemingly or supposedly had lost this knowledge for a while, but it originated with the Greeks. And when we look at ecology, it has only ever been the white man that has been concerned about preserving ecology. If you look at what the Red Indians used to do, they just used to burn down scrubland, and they would eat animals into extinction. Still today, when we look at the veterinary industry, it's dominated by white people. 99% of all vets are white, and that is because they have a concern for animals. We have a concern for the environment. We wish to preserve the environment. In China, they will eat dogs. In Africa, they will beat dogs. And a dog is seen as a man's best friend by the white man. And I'm not criticizing these people or trying to incite hate against these other peoples. I'm just trying to show that they have a different way of doing things. And because they have a different way of doing things and they have a different culture, because they are racially a different people, they haven't developed in the same way that we have. So we shouldn't be expecting them to have developed classical music, mathematics and ecology. And we certainly shouldn't expect them to pop up in our history anywhere, which of course they don't, because our countries were 99.9% white, particularly Britain, right up until the last 70 years. So if you're going to look through history and then try to quote unquote decolonize it and find some black scientists and some black philosophers, you're not going to find them up until about the last 70 years. You're not going to find any from before then. And you do have to study the history of these subjects. You have to find out how this subject came to be how it is today. I mean, some of them go back thousands of years. And yet, if you want to include blacks and non-whites in them, then you could only go back the last 70 years in the subject, which would mean that people were not properly educated in that subject. And of course, people are no longer properly educated in subjects now anyway, because they've dumbed everything down so much. Newton's discoveries are many. In addition to his three laws of motion and law of universal gravitation, set out in 1787 in Philosophiae Naturalis Principia Mathematica, Newton also built the first reflecting telescope, published theories of colour and the speed of sound, and contributed to the development of calculus alongside Leibniz. Now, where are these discoveries, these inventions, outside of the white world? We don't see inventions and discoveries outside of the white world. Most of the time, the people that were living in the non-white world, they were just living from day to day. They didn't have an understanding of the continual progress of history. If you don't have a written language, say, then you really can't pass on knowledge from one generation to the next generation, because when somebody dies out, that knowledge dies out, because the only information that can be passed on is orally. And the nature of oral information is that over time it becomes like Chinese whispers, and the actual meaning of a phrase gets lost, and that can be lost just over one lifetime, let alone once you start talking about generations. So if a people never developed a written language, then they were unable to pass the knowledge on, and they were unable to see history as a continually growing process. And this is the unique thing that happened with whites. We saw history as a continuing process, building upon what had gone on before. And a large part of that is that we were able to pass this information on through the written language. This is why 99% of everything in the world was created by white people. So, and this is why at university it appears to be Eurocentric. It's just reflecting the way that the world is. It's not out of white people keeping black people down, or white people trying to ignore the accomplishments of black people. Quite the opposite. I mean, we can see that the whole narrative today is to overemphasize black accomplishments and to find black accomplishments where there weren't any before. And we see this drive to try and pretend that black people have been in Britain for much longer than they actually have been, or much more prominent than they actually were. So there's no racism that is going on at these universities, quite the opposite. Newton was less canny with his investments than he was with his research, and the only known example of him dabbling in the dark side of the colonial era was an investment in the slave trading South Sea Company. Far from benefiting Newton, this investment lost him £20,000, a fortune at the time. So far from claiming that Newton was this terrible slave trading racist, he actually lost £20,000 in one of these companies. So being a part of this company certainly did not benefit him. He did not benefit from slavery. He lost £20,000 from a venture that had something to do with slavery. Now, I would suggest that the South Sea Company probably didn't solely trade in slaves. I mean, these trading companies, they traded in all sorts of merchandise, and they would go to one country and they would exchange the merchandise for the slaves. I mean, this was a mutually beneficial system. The African slaveholders benefited from this. Obviously, the slaves themselves, we see it today that they didn't benefit from this, but in actual fact, they did have housing provided for them, they did have warmth, they did have clothing, they did have medical care, they did have food provided for them, and in actual fact, it cost more to keep a slave than it did to actually pay wages. So you could make an argument that even the slaves benefited out of this. If the slaves were taken by the Arabs, they certainly didn't benefit, because black slaves would have been castrated. If the slaves had been bought by African chiefs, they wouldn't have benefited from it, because they could have been cooked and eaten, they could have been sacrificed, and when the African chief died, the slaves were all slaughtered at the same time. You can compare that to the slaves that were taken to America. Yes, they were taken away from their homeland, but none of them wanted to go back to their homeland. And once they were brought to America, far from being castrated, the white slave owners arranged for black female slaves to be brought over from Africa so that they could have a partner. They tried to make life as comfortable as possible for them, because you want the people working for you to be happy. They're going to be most productive if they are happy. Happy workers are far more productive than people that are working on a chain gang or working in prison. Say, if you look at the productivity of people that are in prison, it's got nothing compared on the productivity of a happy workforce. So it doesn't make sense that they would be persecuting these slaves, especially not when they had paid £10,000 each for them. And it would be the equivalent of buying an expensive car and then mistreating it. So this whole idea that anybody that profited from this colonial era or slavery era in some way, they were morally deficient, it doesn't stand up to scrutiny. And when you properly think about it, you understand that. But nobody stands up and says that in the mainstream media. Nobody will dare to point out the actual benefits from this. This is why I was so pleased with this recent report on institutional racism, because it did dare to say that in actual fact, the colonial era brought a lot of benefits to Africa. And again, as I said, as we learnt in the David Livingstone presentation, it was actually the colonizing of Africa that did away with slavery. We would still have slavery. Africa would still be enslaving other Africans if it hadn't been for Britain in particular colonizing Africa. Even some of the most committed diversity and inclusion specialists are not keen on the idea of decolonizing physics. I'm employed by universities to do this training, but for me, equality, diversity and inclusion training is equality of opportunity, diversity of thought, and inclusivity of action, and that is all, one unnamed diversity consultant said. This is something different altogether. It is blatantly teaching people to be activists. And what he's saying there is, yeah, that is truth. That is how things should be. We should have equality of opportunity, and that means a meritocracy. That doesn't mean that people are put on a diversity quota and are given their role simply because of what race they are or what gender they are or who they sleep with. That isn't equality of opportunity. That means discriminating against people that don't hold those minority characteristics, and what he says here about diversity of thought, that is truthful as well. That is the right way that things are. What you need to have is, if you have a group of people and they all have the very same IQ, they all have a very high IQ, and they're all very well qualified in their specialist subjects, and they all come from different areas, then you're going to benefit from that, because you will get a diversity of thought. If you have a group of people together and they are all different races, and they've been picked because they are different races because of that diversity, that's not going to be any good at all. That is not going to be as productive as the other group, because some of the people in the group will have lower IQs than the others. They won't be as qualified as the others. There may be difficulty in communication. Diversity for diversity's sake is not of benefit to anyone. So what this guy here is saying, what we need is diversity of thought. And that is true. We do need diversity of thought. That is something entirely different to putting different races together. And he says inclusivity of action. And I guess what he's saying there is including everybody in doing something. And yeah, that is good. We do need to try and encourage people to take part in society and take part in what is going on. Now, this is a little bit irrelevant here, but it just reminds me of the fact that Patriotic Alternative are trying to get white people, the most disaffected group in society, the white working class, getting them to feel included in society, trying to get them involved in the democratic process, which is why it's so wrong that Patriotic Alternative gets accused of or lumped in with these extremist groups, when Patriotic Alternative is actually doing the opposite. But getting back to this here, this decolonizing of the curriculum, I mean, it is such a ridiculous idea, and yet it seems to have infected every university. All of them are doing this and are somehow claiming that the white scientists of the past, like Isaac Newton, are somehow morally deficient just because of the time that they lived in, because that the system involved slavery. But as I keep pointing out, this system also benefited Africa, and we need more people to actually be pointing out the other side of this story. We really do. And we need them to be doing it on the mainstream media. It's all very well me talking about it here and us talking about it in the alternative media, but we have such a tiny reach. And if somebody starts talking about these subjects at university, of course they're going to be accused of being a hater. But eventually it will happen. This institutional racism report is really a chance to start a dialogue about this, I think. Because this is one of the things that the author of the report was talking about, the fact that slavery didn't have all entirely negative aspects, and parts of it did actually help out Africa, particularly the colonizing part of it. Anyway, thank you very much for listening. I'll be back tomorrow with Dr. Matthew Raphael Johnson. God bless and hail victory.
You're listening to Radio Albion, talk radio for the nationalist community.